Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Hey, it's so good to see you all today. And I just want to invite you in for a moment to talk about the Word of God. You know, I carry this around. I was just telling Pastor Josh, both of our Bibles look like they've been run over by trucks. But the truth of the matter is that this Bible is such a precious gift. We have been given something that really came from the mouth of God, and in it are contained mysteries and truths that are essential to every day. And sometimes I think we don't realize that, and I want to share with you a couple of things today. I've got just a whole plethora of ideas I'd love to give you today, but the bottom line of it is we really want the Lord to speak the part that he wants today. So I'm just going to ask you just to stop where we are this morning, and let's pray just for a second. Father, we open our hearts today to the most important thing on earth, and that is your truth. I pray, Father, that the day would just kind of be settled in our heart for a moment here today so that your heart can be our heart. I pray that you'd open the eyes of our understanding and show us what you want to show us. I pray that your word would heal us today. I pray that you would give direction, strength, and inspiration. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think if I were to address the season we're in as a world right now, I'd have to say there's kind of a darkening going on. And I don't think that's any particular surprise to anyone. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I've been watching a little bit of the unrest that's going on and of course, the crimes that are being committed and the lives that have been taken and shootings and other violence. It's a dark time in some ways. But I want to share with you this morning some things that hopefully will give some perspective on that. If I were going to give a title to this today, which I don't really care that much about, I enjoyed what Heath had to say last week about not really caring about titles. You seem to work harder to get a title than you do a message, and it's just, so I'm not really worried about that. The bottom line of this is I do want to talk to you today about the simple art of piercing the darkness. And I want to start where God started on this subject matter. If you turn your Bibles or your devices today, would you just go to Genesis chapter 1? It's always good to go to the beginning. And I'm going to talk today on several levels, hopefully. I feel like I've got a prophetic word for you in this sense about piercing the darkness today, but I want to set it in motion with the Word of God. I want to even talk today about a little bit about how we read the Word of God because it's so important. I get to do a lot of things in my life. I've been a lot of places around the world. I've hunted, I've fished, I've done crazy things that I never thought I'd get to do. But I'll tell you, one of my favorite things is what I've been doing for the last couple of days. And that is spending time meditating in the Word of God. Because there's so much there. I've learned things from the Lord this last couple of days that I have never known my entire life. And it's exciting to me to know that it's just continually unfolding. So jump in here with me today. In the beginning, God. Like we could stop right there and build three tabernacles. You know, we could go there. Isn't it good to know that God's not a late comer? That he didn't just come because you were in trouble. He came way before that. He was before that. He has always been before that. He has been omnipotent, that is all powerful. He's omnipresent, he's everywhere at once. And he's omniscient, he knows everything. In the beginning, in every enterprise, in every thought, in every plan, in every reaction, in everything we do, in the beginning, God. He needs to be consulted. He needs to be followed. He needs to be treated as Lord, not just an onlooker or a problem solver. He was in the beginning. He is everything in between the beginning and the end, but there is no end. It's good news all the way around. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. Actually, I love the way the Hebrews write it. Light be. Light be. It was like they were good friends. He was just saying, I want you to exist right here. Where there was no light, light be. And I believe that the Lord would like to come this morning and look at your life where there's darkness, and he'd like to say, light be. Light be. You don't have to dwell in darkness. Darkness is not the realm that you were created for. It's a realm you exist within, but you can have light in the middle of darkness. In fact, we'll talk about that a little bit today. That's what makes us effective for God, is to be able to exist in a time of darkness, but yet to be light bearers. Check this out with me. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. So what we have in this moment is a collaboration of the Trinity. We have God's will, we have God's word being spoken, and we have the Spirit of God preparing the way. There's patterns, there's types and shadows that are really pregnant within this particular phrase right here, because this is the beginning of God's self-revelation to us. And we need to see that virtually everything that happens heretofore has come from these roots right here. There is so much packed into this. Even when Jesus was coming, there's the picture that we had the Spirit of God moving. John was the forerunner. He was full of the Spirit of God from birth, and he was to prepare the way for the Lord. Just as here, the Spirit of God was hovering or moving over the face of the deep, and into that movement, into that preparatory moment, the Word of God came. That's why it's so important not to read the Word of God without a sense of the Holy Spirit's leading. That's why it's good to worship before we enter the word study. That's why it's good to understand that you cannot understand this with a natural mind. The natural mind can't go there by itself. Yes, you can have an intellectual touch with it. Yes, you can examine it by the natural mind, and we have to do that. But you will never get revelation until the Spirit of God touches you and touches the word and makes it yours. That's, to me, the big deal. And so when you get into that moment, there's no telling what God is going to do for you. Everything that God has led me to do in my life came from that kind of a moment. I appreciate people prophesying over me. I appreciate people giving you words that they feel led to have. But I will tell you this. It is a life-changing, life-giving, empowering moment when the Word of God comes from heaven and your spirit is able to receive it. Every time I drive by this building, every time I think about it, I think about a word. In that word was everything necessary to accomplish everything that has been accomplished and everything that's going to be accomplished. It was in the Word of God. When God says, let there be, every resource of heaven perks up and says, are you calling me? Every angel in heaven hears the voice. Everyone called upon on the earth will respond to that voice. It's in a wonderful place, God, when we can be in a place where the Spirit has moved upon us and your word has come to us. I could talk about that all day long. And since I only have 3 hours, I'll have to move on. Now, check it out. God said, light be. And he saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He called the day night, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Just sitting here a while ago, I felt like the Lord just dropped this into my heart, that evening and morning were mentioned here. These are the shoulder moments of the day when one becomes the other, when light becomes dark. And in the morning when night or the dark becomes light. I've spent so much time on the water and in the woods, hunting and fishing and just spending time out in nature. But I can tell you this, that the most active moments of the day usually are the shoulder moments. When darkness is giving way to light, and when light is giving way to darkness. I think the world is in one of those shoulder moments right now. It's pretty dark out there. But in the morning, I'm going to be, God willing, and I think He is, I'm going to be out in the woods before the sun comes up. Because there's a turkey that needs to come home with me. But as I'm in the woods tomorrow morning, before the sun even shows its face, I can guarantee you that the world will wake up. I believe that prophetically, we're in a dark season, a shoulder moment of history, when it looks like everything is dark and foreboding and crazy and demonic, and many of those things are. But let me just tell you, there's a moment coming. It's been prophesied long, long ago that the Lord is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to begin to prophesy. Old men are going to be having dreams. Young men are going to be having visions. There's going to come a revival. It's going to be the latter rain. The latter rain in biblical history was always that one right before the big harvest. God is going to have a harvest on the earth. He's going to show the world His glory in ways we have not seen. So I just want to tell you, there's a lot of activity in this shoulder moment of history right now. Get ready, because God is going to do a cool thing. But here's what I want to say to you is that in the very moment that we meet God here, God is importing something from His dwelling that hasn't been in this place before. And I've always read this over the years, and I thought, well, you know, He created the sun. The very first thing, because He said, light be. Well, no, honestly, that did not happen. It was day four before God created the planets and the sun and the moon and all that. Day four. But He said, light be, because He was bringing it with Him. In fact, I read a scripture that I really had never noticed before, and it says the following. It's 1 Timothy 6:16, if you want to write it down, look at it later. It says, He dwells in unapproachable light that no man has seen or can see. That's His home. But He wanted to import something from the get-go that belonged to His realm alone. There was already darkness. Satan had been cast down to the earth. He had left his first estate. And God comes to this place that is dark and basically without form and without void. And the very first thing He does, He imports what He's used to. He brings His realm to bear upon your nothingness. He brings His realm to bear upon your confusion and your chaos and maybe even demonic activity. And He says, light be. He's going to move. He's going to build. He's going to give life. But He's already providing an environment that He's comfortable with. Because guess what? He wants you to be comfortable with it too. A lot of people are afraid of God's presence. It's really amazing that you could be afraid of God's presence, but many people are. It's different than what they're used to. It calls upon them to act differently than what they're used to. But I'm telling you, it is the best thing on earth to realize that you're in a place that God has prepared for you, and He's put light there for you. Now, what I also want to say is that because God brought light into it by a word, and 4 days later, He creates all the planets, the sun, the moon, all of that, I think it's really powerful, because we see that God is going to deputize, as it were, entities He creates to bear His image. You see what I'm saying? He set in motion something that was endued with what he brought from heaven, which was light. You have in the sky an innumerable company of stars. We also are told that there's an innumerable company of angels who are light bearers. There are two kinds of bearers in the universe. Some that generate light, which would be God, Jesus, the Spirit of God, the angelic host, they're glowing. And there are some that only reflect the light that is provided to them. How many times have we gone out on a clear evening during a full moon and we say, wow, boy, the moon's really bright tonight? Not really. The moon is dull as it gets. It's just dust. It has no ability to generate light on its own. But it is hung in space in such a way that it borrows light from the sun and depicts it to the darkened world. If you ever wondered what your ministry looks like, it's the moon ministry. You aren't generating anything. You're only passing along what has been given to you. Huh? That's why the simple job of piercing the darkness is really simple. Because I don't have to generate the light. I only have to put myself in position to be a good reflector of the light. So, well, Pastor, you're making a whole lot out of this. Well, believe me, I can take you several places throughout Scripture, and this is what I want to talk to you about today. This, what I'm doing with you right now, is the meditation you go through when you're applying the law of first mention. This is a law that we apply in trying to understand Scripture and trying to teach it appropriately. We look at where it's first mentioned. And we look at the foundation stones that were laid down when it was first mentioned, and then everything else that we ascribe to truth related to that must relate to what it was when it was first introduced. That's how we make sure we don't get into error. Anybody that practices kamikaze guidance and they just look in the Scripture to find what they want, you might get Judas went out and hanged himself. Go and do thou likewise. Be careful. You need a foundation for every word from God. And so when we look at this Scripture here, we see, wow, there's a whole lot more to that than what I thought. And this is the way we should read the Bible. You don't read just, you know, how many of you know quiet times can be a little too quiet? The way to change that is to read and meditate on it. Let it wash over your mind. Meditation really is a term that describes how a cow chews its cud. You know, it takes a mouth of grass and it chews it up and then it swallows it and then it coughs it back up later on. I know it's kind of gross, but they kind of like it. And they chew it some more, and they keep getting more out of it until they finally swallow it and goes through their system. That's the way we should read the Word. Believe me, there's much more to it than what we get just cursory reading. So when we do that, the Lord can open our mind. We're giving time. We're giving energy. We're giving the process of even study to show ourselves approved to God, workmen need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's something when you give your time, God will honor your time. We don't just do a drive-through. We spend some time with it. Now, you know, there are times when we just get a snack, and there's sometimes when we get a meal. And it's so important that we do both to remind ourselves daily. And what I want to leave with you from this particular scripture was that God created the stars and the planets, those that generate light and those that receive and reflect light, And he left them as a permanent testimony. And the scripture goes on to say that the heavens declare his glory. What is it, what really is that declaring? Well, what it's declaring is that no matter how dark it is, I'm still here. I'm still here everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. And believe me, what you can see in a populated area of the stars is a very small fraction of the stars that are visible. A couple of years ago, I was in Africa, and we sat out in the middle of a dry sand river one night, and just looked up. And oh my gosh, I have never seen stars like that. I've been in the deserts in Arizona at night and seen the same kind of thing, miles away from any electric light, any other lights whatsoever, and it is amazing. The darker it gets, the more you see. In fact, another thing I learned from this is light is more powerful than dark. I don't care how dark it gets. A single pinprick of light will penetrate it. It seems overwhelming, doesn't it? Darkness is so big and so complete and so opaque. But all it takes is a flick of a match or just a glint of light of some sort, and it penetrates that. In fact, I got to thinking yesterday, too, isn't it amazing that a star burning 93 million miles away can make me feel warm when I present myself before it? You may be far from God. You may be far from God. But if you'll present yourself, he'll warm your soul. He will do it. Radiant heat. I don't understand it, but I really, really appreciate it. You may not feel like you're close to the Lord, but I'm telling you, his reach is so significant. And no matter how dark, no matter how cold, you present yourself before him and he will warm your soul. You know, I've been feeding on this. We're going through a time as a family that's been pretty tough. Seems dark. Seems frustrating. It seems very alone. But I'll tell you something. Getting alone with God, even in moments like that, your heart gets warmed and you feel that camaraderie, you feel that love, you feel that hope, you feel that we can make it kind of thing. It's so important that we don't lose that we, so many people basically trust other people to buoy them up. Trust other people to bring them along. Trust other people to fix what's wrong in their life. But I'll tell you, if you'll just present yourself to him, no matter how far away you feel, he'll start to warm your heart. Now think about those guys that on the road to Emmaus in a very dark day themselves, they were walking along and Jesus had died. And they couldn't believe it. And they were talking about it. And this guy shows up and walks along with them. And basically, when he leaves, they said, were not our hearts warmed as he walks with us, as he walked with us by the way? You never know when in your solitary moment or in your sad moment that he's going to come along like that and warm your heart. The other thing I got from this was that the Lord left a permanent testimony on the earth of what he brought from heaven. Those stars, those planets, those moons around those planets, all that interaction activity between the light producers and the light bearers is a testimony that even today is going on. In fact, the Lord divided, he gave something of heaven's light to all these entities, and he placed them where they would minister to the earth forever. The good news today is this, that he is still handing out light. He's still creating in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls a light-bearing capability. It's a moon ministry, We're not creating it ourselves, but we become custodians of what God has given. You say, well, Pastor, that's nice. No, I can follow it all the way through Scripture. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 60, pardon me. When the Lord begins to speak to Zion, speak to Israel in a very dark time, he said, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Sounds to me like the Lord is creating moons out there, places that he can display himself even in a dark time. And because it is a dark time, those that dwell in darkness see a great light, and they're drawn to the light. I just came back from Florida, and we were out 28 miles in the ocean, and it was dark. And as we begin to move towards shore, it's amazing how your eye is drawn to a lighthouse. It's amazing how your eye is drawn to navigation markers that are lit up. It's like I've got my bearings now. I know where I'm going. I know what I need to avoid, and I know what I need to go toward. It's a welcoming feeling. I've been in the ocean, on the ocean several times when it was very dangerous and it was night. And I was all alone. And I was in a place that was a death-defying moment, really. But when I saw a light, I got my bearings, and I knew what I could do and what I couldn't do. And I'm just telling you, we're living in times, and there's always been times like this. If you want to look at history, you're going to find out that man is really a mess. We have tried everything we can to destroy what God has given us. So it's nothing new to have tough times. But what is so wonderful about tough times, the darker it gets when you are exposed to a light, it's amazing how it makes you feel there's hope. And God wants us each to be such light bearers that when we're walking through darkness with people, they gravitate, just like it says right here, that they gravitate to us. I know I wasn't always in ministry. I worked in the industry. I worked as a business owner, and there were a lot of situations where I saw this play out, where guys, you know, they'd be telling dirty jokes in the break room and all that, and I'd be in there, and they knew I was a preacher and all of that kind of things in Bible college days, and it was not unusual at all for the break room to clear out after break time and some guy to hang around that was telling the jokes before. You know, you can tell he doesn't know God. And it was amazing how so many times that guy would be the guy that says, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Could you share this with me? Could you help me with this? Could you give me some wisdom? I'm in this problem or that problem or the other problem. And you don't know that you're bearing light. You're just doing your stinking job. But something happens because you're carrying something that's not of you. The Spirit of God inside of you is reaching out to that person. He is hovering over that situation. And God's trying to say, light be. But the only light around happens to be you. Are you there? That's exciting. You just got deputized. God said, you know that light I gave you? That's not just so you can read the paper. That's so you can be a light. That's so you can see yourself as an emissary of heaven. What a joy. What an honor. But if you're not aware of that, if you're not really applying yourself, isn't it sad that sometimes God wants to put his hand on us, or God wants to call us to attention in somebody's eyes, but he can't. So let's polish the mirror a little bit. You don't paint the mirror. polish the mirror so that what God is, who God really is, can be seen in the mirror without distraction or disruption or distortion. So anyway, listen to the rest of this. Verse 19 and 20. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. For the Lord will be to you as an everlasting light. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. What a promise. What a promise. And again, he's hearkening back to what started there in the book of Genesis. Now, here's the thing. Here's a little bit of Bible study information. In Isaiah 28, he talks to us in verses 9 and 10. He says, to whom will he teach knowledge? It will be precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So, we probably won't find everything we need to know about a subject in one spot, because it is spread throughout the book. And the other thing that happens here is it's progressive. We have things called types and shadows in the Old Testament. The Old Testament law and all the practices of the Old Testament law really were shadows and types. They were pictures. They were word pictures in the natural that would show us something about the kingdom. A little bit here, a little bit there. And since the holy music has started, I'm going to cut to the chase. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Moses had been on the mountain with God for 40 days. When he came down, his face was glowing. The people who had committed a horrible sin didn't want to see it. In fact, Moses even put a veil over his face because this glory that he had experienced in the old covenant was passing away. That's a type and a shadow. The law that came through Moses was going to be fulfilled in Christ, so that would pass away. Even though it was glorious, something else was coming. And then the Lord talks to us here in this chapter and says, now the Lord is the Spirit. They're so unified. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that is, watching Jesus. And Jesus was the perfect. I have a principle I like to talk about all the time, the 45-degree principle. It's as if we were possessors of a mirror. And in order for you to see something that I can see that you can't, I would hold my mirror at 45 degrees so that that image would bounce off my mirror and you could see it. Jesus said to his disciples, they said, show us the Father and it suffices us. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was holding his mirror at 45 degrees. He wasn't holding it at 90 because he would just reflect what he was looking at. He wasn't holding it at 180 degrees or whatever it would have been, because he would just be reflecting back to God, and there's a moment for that. But instead, he kept God in view and projected him out perfectly to those around. That's what we're called to do. I'd like to spend a few moments there, but we won't. Listen to this. Therefore, we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, and we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, that is, the exhibition of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those that are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Listen to this. Right back to Genesis now. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, which I love so much. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Folks, we've been called to do something that is so precious. We've been given the ability to be light bearers, light reflectors. And just like God placed the stars in the heaven to light the darkness of night for people and travelers throughout history, He places you and I in the galaxy of our own surroundings like lights in a dark place. Why don't you stand this morning? I don't think there's probably any of us that feel qualified. I doubt that there are any of us that feel like we're always the best illustration of the kingdom. But here's the thing. Today is a brand new day. We can vow from this day forward, Lord, I want to keep my mirror clean. And I want to keep myself in a position to reflect you to those around me. Could you do that? Could you just kind of lift your hands to Him today? Just say, Jesus, thank you, God, for the privilege of representing you. Would you help me, Lord, to walk and live in such a way that people see me, but really they're seeing you? Lord, we want to be light reflectors. We want to be those that put ourselves in the position, those that have the right relationship, the right tuning to stay in focus with you, the frequency of heaven. Let it be on our lips. Let it be upon our life. Lord, I pray today for those of us that don't feel like we're qualified. Maybe there are people here today that haven't got a relationship with you yet. We pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would come upon them, that you draw them to yourself, that they would make you Lord forever and forever. I bless you today, Lord. I thank you for these people. Let your glory rest upon them even heavier. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.